Hello guys, welcome back to the Good Vibes Club. How are we all doing? Are we having a good week so far? I really like putting these up on Wednesday morning because I think it just really allows us to sink into the week a little bit. Then you hit the Wednesday slump and then the episode comes out and you can just have a little pick me up in the middle of the week, ready to take you through the last couple of days of work before the weekend. Obviously, if you don't listen when it goes live, then you might be getting this at some other point in your week, which is totally okay. And, you know, might give you a little pick me up on a Saturday morning or a Friday evening, or who knows when you listen or where you listen, but hopefully you enjoy it nonetheless. Today's episode, I thought I would give you some timeless trends that I think are really worth investing into. And this actually stemmed from a YouTube video that I did recently. And I thought, you know what? We're going to turn it into a podcast episode because all of the things that I talked about in that YouTube video are really valuable for my podcast audience, because some of you don't watch my YouTube, or, you know, some of the YouTube audience don't come over here. Some of you maybe do crossover, but I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to keep it to one platform. We're going to share the knowledge and we're going to share the ideas and the wisdom and all that kind of good stuff. And I'm going to give you a little look into the things that I love in my wardrobe and the things that I really invested into and don't regret buying. So this wasn't necessarily a bunch of items that I maybe bought knowing that they would be in my wardrobe forever, but things that I've picked up along the way and have become timeless trends in my wardrobe, or, you know, things that I've bought into thinking, right, this is probably going to last me a really long time. Now, if you've heard any of my episodes before, you'll know that I did used to very much be into fast fashion. I used to be very trend led. I kind of fell into influencing at a point where everything was very much, you had to be wearing certain things and like everyone owned the same items. And it was very much like haul video after haul video after haul video. And I think now everyone's kind of branching into their own niches, which is what we love to see. So hopefully you can realize online that my niche is very much capsule wardrobes, timeless pieces, you know, secondhand shopping, not always buying brand new. Not every season you need to buy a whole load of new items or keep up with every single trend. For example, like the Adidas Sambas and the red trend that are currently going around. I don't really have anything red apart from one pair of New Balance, which have like red accents that I love. And they're also, you know, just quite timeless in my wardrobe. And red, I mean, it doesn't really suit me. So we'll keep it to the trainers. And then when it comes down to the Sambas, I know everyone loves them, but guys, I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan. I know that there's such a big trend and like cult following around the Adidas Samba trainers, but I don't know what it is. I'm just not a fan. Maybe I'm just too much of a New Balance girl, but I'm not a fan. Like, I'm looking at my New Balances right now, and in my entire shoe stack, I think I've got like 6 or 7 pairs of New Balances, and then maybe like a couple of pairs of Nike trainers and some Vans. I don't actually think I own any Adidas ones anymore. I do like the Gazelles, and there's another one, I can't think of the name of it, but the Sambas, I'm not a big fan. So I thought I would give you this episode just to share my timeless trends that I think are ones that keep coming back year upon year. They're quite simple. They're quite easy to incorporate into any wardrobe. And obviously take this with a pinch of salt, because I know some of you might hear some of these and go, absolutely not, that would not suit me. I do not like that. Some of you might think of something else that maybe could go in instead that you really like. So for example, if you are someone who wears red, maybe red is a really good color for you, or maybe those Adidas Samba trainers are a really vital part of your wardrobe. So obviously take these with a pinch of salt. I've tried to keep them quite broad, but let's see how we go and let's see what you think. As always, my DMs are open on thegoodvibesclub.podcast if you wanted to send me anything that you think of this episode, or, you know, any tidbits of knowledge or advice or anything like that. I've had a few messages along the way about different things to do with the episodes, and it actually really helps. So hearing things like maybe you want the sound to be a bit louder, or you want it to be a bit less choppy in the edits that I do myself. All of these are taken on board. We're learning as we go. I have never in my life edited audio until having this podcast. So it's very much a learning curve, and we're just, you know, rolling with the punches, seeing what happens and taking each day as it comes. Oh my God, I nearly forgot. Let's get into the good vibe of the week before we get into the episode. So my good vibe of this week, I think, has to be, I kind of have two. So one is the fact that the sun is shining and it's absolutely beautiful outside. I think we're finally leaving that lull where, you know, we had like a bit of a heat wave for like 3 days and then all of a sudden it went to being Baltic. I think we're finally starting to see spring. We're finally starting to get those later nights, the lighter mornings. And honestly, this time of year, I cannot wait for the beautiful trees outside of my window to start going green again, because I kid you not, they just all of a sudden one day, it's like I click my fingers and I wake up and everything's green and I can't see anything further than the trees, which in winter we can kind of see the houses behind. Not the worst thing in the world, but I do quite like when I feel like I'm in my own personal little private oasis. So I'm kind of excited for that to come back a little bit. And the other one is the fact that I'm finally able to run again. I actually don't know when this episode is going to be going live, but I'm recording this at the very end of February and I haven't been able to run for quite a while now because I had a really weird pain with my hip that I'm still waiting to get physio on, which somehow seems to have disappeared. I don't know if it's maybe where I've cut down training and stuff, but that seems to have gone. And then I broke my toes, so I've been out of running for quite a long time and I had to cancel a half marathon, which I'm gutted about because I really, really wanted to do it. I was so looking forward to it. I was really getting into my training and my determination to run one this year is very high. I do think I'm going to take it baby steps though. And I mean, she says baby steps. I did book a 10K race for the end of March. Ambitious, but I think I can do it. I don't know. Am I being ridiculous? Potentially. Everyone I've spoken to has said I need to just chill out because training plans for things like a 10K are typically 8 weeks. I have six. Are we going to be able to do it? We'll see. I'm going to take myself for a run after recording this episode and see how we go. But hopefully, fingers crossed, we can get into it, get moving, and it will just be an amazing time. So wish me luck. If you want to follow the running stuff, I tend to post quite a bit on my personal TikTok or, you know, my Jess M. Shepherd one. So head and check out over there because I have been doing like a documentation of having never been a runner before to running a half marathon. Obviously, we've had a couple of bumps in the road. That's so normal, so okay. But we're going to eventually get there. And I feel like it's going to be so much more worth it for the fact that I've had so many trials and tribulations along the way. Like genuinely, I'm not an accident prone person. And I seem to just have thing after thing after thing. Like I got sick in Bali. Then I came back and then I ended up hiking Snowdon with my sore hip. So the sore hip came next. Then I got a cold from hiking Snowdon because it was so cold up there. Then I ended up hurting my hip again. Then we had the broken toe. Like there's just thing after thing and I feel like I just can't catch a break. And I don't know what's happened because the healthier I am, the more clumsy I seem to become. So who knows what's happening there, but I feel like I need a bit of a break somewhere along the lines. Like we need the health and the fitness and the physical to just be 10 out of 10 for 5 minutes. That's all I'm asking for. Just 5 minute break would be fabulous. But enough on that, let's get chatting about the 10 trends that I consider to be really timeless that I think you should consider adding into your wardrobe or sticking with if you have them already. So these are things that have maybe been trends in the past that have stuck around or things that are just what I would consider to be really consistent in style and fashion. Now, I'm not saying that these aren't necessarily trend pieces because some of these do come up as being really big trends every now and again. Some of them kind of dip in and out, but you'll see what I mean as we head through. So the first one I'm going to start with is one that I am very much a lover of. I have a lot of it. I never thought I would have a lot of it because I used to be the girl that strictly wore black. There was a solid few years of my life, I think it's from going to university, because pre-university I was a hot mess to say the least. I very much was in the era of like the galaxy leggings, the bowler hats, like wearing shirts and having like random feather earrings in one ear only. It was a wild time. There was a lot of different clashing prints going on. It was a specific era of fashion that I think was almost like the beginnings of fashion blogging. So do you remember like the really big chunky necklaces that were like an owl and it had like loads of different pieces and they had like gemstones on them and stuff? Or we had like the big crosses and the moustache double rings and all that kind of stuff that was just weird and wacky and wonderful. That was my college style. And then when I got to university, I think I just tried to really refine it down. Now, if you go back on my YouTube, I have not removed any of the evidence of this. My YouTube goes back, I think, to like, God, maybe like 8-9 years. So there's a lot of evidence of hideous outfits over my generations of life. And over my different eras, I think there is still some college bits up. I definitely know that I had YouTube heavily in university and my style has just evolved quite a bit over time. I think I used to be very trend-led. I used to be very fast fashion. And now I've kind of fallen into what I love. So we had the black phase, which everything was oversized, everything was black jeans, everything was just very dark with the occasional like white t-shirt. To be honest, I don't think I've strayed that far from that, but that was kind of what I was. And then I somehow ended up in this place where I just had loads of denim And by denim, I mean like blue denim. I just never used to wear blue jeans. I don't know what it is, but it took me till about maybe like 4 or 5 years ago to actually own, I think, a pair of blue jeans. I maybe did, but I didn't wear them very often. I don't know. But it took me a really long time to get into the world of blue jeans. Like, I distinctly remember working in a retail shop when I was at university back in 2016, so like 8 years ago, and I had a black pair of jeans and a blue pair of jeans that were my work uniform. I don't think I ever, maybe once or twice in 2 years of working there, wore those blue jeans. I used to just wear the black jeans or a skirt or something else. And I just used to find whenever I wore the blue jeans, I just didn't feel like myself, which is so hilarious because now such a big part of my wardrobe. So that's kind of where the first big ramble and roundabout way to tell you the first timeless trend, double denim slash denim everything. So I consider double denim to be a really good trend. It's really easy to style. You probably already own some of the pieces to do double denim outfits. And I just think denim shirts and denim jackets and, you know, shorts and jeans, there's so many wonderful denim pieces out there. And there's so many styles now that I think it's really nice to try double denim, but without doing it in the classic like Canadian tuxedo shirt and jeans kind of way. So it could be that you wear maybe a denim jacket with a denim skirt, like a denim maxi skirt maybe. You could wear a denim shirt with some denim shorts. There's so many different ways to wear the trend. And I think specifically blue denim is just having such a revival. It's so timeless and classic. And I think if you find the right styles that suit you and suit your shape, they will last for years to come. If you want to know my favorite denim for jeans, I love the Weekday Row. They are my all-time favorite. Weekday denim in general, I just really, really love. There's a million different styles. They're not that expensive and they are just such a gorgeous denim. Every pair I've ever had from them has been such good quality. And I think they're a bit of a hidden gem. Like, no one really knows about them. Levi 501s, absolute classic. I live in my Levi 501s. I've got a few different colours of each of the two, the Weekday Row and the Levi 501s. I think the Levi 501s just suit everyone. I don't know anyone who doesn't like them. Even my mum still has Levi 501s in her cupboard. I've got a few pairs. My partner has some. All of my friends have pretty much all got them. They're just a really classic, easy pair of denim. And then the other denim that I think is really worth investing into is the And Other Stories denim. Now, I'm not going to go into specifics of cuts and stuff. I personally really like the favorite cut, but there's a few different styles on there that are just really gorgeous. The only thing I will say with the And Other Stories ones are there's not really that much stretch. I would say you have to go up a size or two. So if you're planning to get any, I would say definitely go into the store and try them on, or get a few different pairs and see which size fits you best. Maybe just ignore the size labels because we know they're all rubbish anyway. But I do find that with the And Other Stories, where there's not really much give, they're not as forgiving around the waist because the stretch just isn't really there. Like, I think mine are about 2 or 3 sizes too big. So just bear that in mind when you're shopping for those. But I'll leave links in the show notes if you are interested in getting your hands on those. I'll also link the timeless YouTube video that I did, because that's got the links to pretty much everything. And you can see all of the pieces in there that I've got, because I'm pretty sure I hold everything up or I like show it as pictures and stuff throughout the video. So you'll get a good grasp of what I'm talking about. The next timeless trend I don't think is going to come as a surprise to anyone listening, but it's a trench coat. I remember distinctly about 2 years ago, someone commented on my YouTube channel and said that my claim to fame was my Burberry trench. I'll take it. If that's my claim to fame, I will absolutely take it, because I sourced that baby down. I think I paid about £300 for it. It's still in perfect shape. It's been dry cleaned. It's my absolute pride and joy. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go and buy a Burberry trench coat, but I would definitely say to look for one that is a great quality if you're planning on having it for a really long time. This doesn't necessarily mean you need to spend loads of money. I've got things in my wardrobe that are from Primark like 6 years ago and they're still going strong. But I think find the one that is the perfect shape for you, whether that means sizing up and getting an oversized look, whether you prefer them tighter, shorter, longer, black, green, camel, whatever it is that you like. I just think a trench coat is so classic for a wardrobe, and it's just really easy for spring because not only is it super lightweight, so you can kind of wear it spring through to like the very beginnings of summer when it's not too warm, but you can also wear it into autumn as well. So it's one that comes out pretty much year round for me. Likewise with the double denim, they just get worn all the time. And I guess that's kind of where these timeless trends came into my thought process. I was sat down trying to think of making a YouTube video and I thought, do you know what? I do all these capsule wardrobe ones and I talk about year-round capsule wardrobes and seasonal ones. And I thought, why don't I just talk about my timeless pieces, like the trends that I've invested into at one point in time that just keep coming back into my line of vision, whether they flit off for a little bit and then come back, whether they're constants. Most of these things that I'm talking about are things that I genuinely love and use all of the time. Now, I don't invest in every single trend because I, like I said at the beginning of the video, don't always love them. Sometimes they're ones that I know are just not going to be around for very long. But the ones that I have invested into that I've still kept for a really, really long time, I thought were worth talking about. And hopefully it does help you guys, because I know a lot of you are similar to me and you just don't want to buy all the time. As much as the haul videos and stuff online are great, and as much as I love seeing, you know, how things look on normal bodies and maybe finding the odd piece to fit into my wardrobe, I think just being a bit more conscious and more aware of the things that you have and not feeling like you need to constantly be buying new things is really important. Like, I don't ever really shop at the really fast fashion brands. I don't really ever go to like PLT or Boohoo or anything like that. But I obviously do shop still at Primark sometimes and H&M. And I buy the odd thing on Amazon now, actually. Amazon fashion arguably is actually pretty good. It's one of my top at the moment for finding really random things that are great quality. Like, I bought a knitted lounge set recently. It's like a long sleeve jumper and some shorts. Beautiful quality, not the cheapest in the world. I think it's about £50 for the set, but it comes in a bazillion colors, and I already want to go back and buy the cream version because I think it'll just be so nice for those work from home days, or, you know, chucking a trench and some boots over and wearing it out for the day. But Amazon is quickly getting up there, guys. I guess the one thing I want to say is that you don't always need to invest into those really expensive brands. I talk about my Burberry trench because it was a really good investment, and I think if that is something that you want to maybe spend a little bit more money on, then absolutely all for it. However, if you are just looking to get one that's a little bit cheaper from ASOS, they still last a really long time. I think the main thing of it is just maintaining your wardrobe and just making sure that what you've got is treated really well so that it lasts as long as possible. So, you know, following the washing instructions, debobbling things instead of just getting rid because it looks a bit older. Like, you can literally just buy a debobbler for like £15, give it a quick whiz over your knitwear and your coats, and they look brand new again. You can do things like lint rolling stuff or bonder webbing things to make sure the length is right for you. Or, you know, even just little things. Like, I did a video recently because I got so sick of looking in my wardrobe and seeing everything unironed that I went through and pulled out anything that needed a steam or an iron, and I did it so that everything in my wardrobes now is ready to wear, so I don't look at it for 6 to 10 months and think, oh, I can't be bothered to iron you, so I'm just going to leave you in there. I now go into my wardrobe and I reach for it because it's already ironed, and it doesn't take me any more effort to wear that item than it would to wear the t-shirt I wore last week. So I do recommend just kind of keeping up with the wardrobe maintenance, making sure it's all organized and tidy so that you can see everything. Really, really great things. But we are going massively off topic, so let's get back into the trends. Now, the next one doesn't really require any ironing or much maintenance at all, to be honest, and it's leather. Leather definitely has had a revival recently. I don't know why, but about 3 or 4 years ago, we just all got really big into leather everything. So the leather blazers, the leather trousers, the leather leggings, all of those other pieces where before we only really had like your classic aviator jacket. And I love it. I love it so much. I actually bought a beautiful brown leather jacket from Vinted for, I think it was either £20 or £12. I honestly can't remember now. But it was like this gorgeous motorbike jacket that had obviously been owned by a guy before because it was a guy selling it. And it's 2XL, so it's massive. It does need like taking up on the arms. I'm going to try and take it to a specialist tailor and get the sleeves taken up a little bit. But it's gorgeous and it's worn and it just looks really rustic and old and like, just, you know, when you get a worn leather jacket that's brown and it just looks so much better because it's had a bit of life in it. It's like that. And I love it. And I think it's really great that leather is having a revival, because once you find those staple leather pieces, they're really great for replacing like your classic peacoat, or maybe, you know, like when we wear blazers in the summer, it's really nice sometimes to then swap to like a leather blazer in the autumn. My leather trousers replace my jeans quite often in that kind of time of year. I'd say I don't really wear them, obviously don't wear them in the summer, but they do get worn in spring, autumn and winter quite heavily. So great investment into the wardrobe. Again, if it's genuine leather, you do need to look after it a little bit. You're supposed to like obviously treat them and like hydrate the leather quite often. Same with leather bags. If it's faux leather, obviously you don't need to do that. So up to you whether you want vegan leather, faux leather, real leather, etc. But I do recommend checking out Vinted and places like that for the really gorgeous worn jackets, because oftentimes going into charity and vintage shops, they do up the prices a little bit. But if you go onto Vinted, a lot of people are just looking for a bargain and they'll sell it for pretty cheap and you can get some absolute great deals. Is the next one arguably a little bit controversial? I would say so. How do we feel about leopard print? Because I'm very firmly in team leopard print. However, I do know that there's quite a large portion of our generation that still think of leopard print as being like the Cat Slater, Pat Butcher, EastEnders, big leopard print faux fur coat with some giant gold hoops. Don't say you didn't think of it. As soon as I've said it, you can picture the picture I'm thinking about. There actually used to be, I don't know if anyone else will remember this, but there used to be an EastEnders game on desktop where you could go on and you could like dress up different cast members and they'd have their like signature catchphrases and stuff, but you could put them in different outfits. And I used to always put them in the leopard print coat. I used to love it. And you could do like hair rollers in Pat Butcher and stuff. It was so fun. I don't know why I ever had it or how I found it, but it was great. It filled many, many evenings for me. But leopard print has just, was it ever really not a trend? I don't know. I feel like it comes and goes in waves. Right now, it's having an absolute moment. There's so many leopard print pieces around. I feel like the last maybe 2 or 3 years, it kind of dipped a little bit, but you could still get the odd piece. And I think it is just a classic. I personally love it in two smaller accessories and things. So for example, I have some leopard print slingbacks that I just bought on Vinted, which are just like a really nice, really simple pair of shoes. I've got a leopard print scarf that I love wearing. I also have the leopard print like tie front gilet from Dams and Madder, which everyone and their wife knows, loves, wears. And I do really want to get some leopard print trousers slash jeans. Now, I know Ganny do a pair, so I'm avidly watching Vinted to try and get those because they're just the perfect fit. But also, you know, because it's secondhand, it's a bit better for the environment. But I am still on the hunt, regardless of where they come from. I do want to try and find some. Not top of my priority list because I'm not actively wanting to spend money. But if I find a pair that look amazing, wouldn't say no to buying them as long as they're the right price. So leopard print for me is a really big one. Like I said at the beginning, not all of these are going to be ones that everyone wants to invest into. Not all of them are things that you maybe are going to love. But I just wanted to talk about the ones that I personally see as timeless. And it might inspire you to go into your wardrobe and think, do you know what? I'm not really a leopard print girl, but I do quite like a spot or a floral. Maybe you're a floral queen. We all know there's one girl that we can think of right now who is a lover of like floral dresses, floral skirts, floral tops. We all have that friend. I know you can think of her. We all know that there is someone like that in your life. I am the leopard print friend. I am the one who wears endless leopard print. So I definitely think it is one to look into. But again, it's not a consistent trend. It's one that kind of ebbs and flows. It comes back every now and then. Not like leather, where I feel like leather and like denim, for example, are consistent. The leopard print one is a little bit of a wild card, no pun intended, but it's also one that does kind of ebb and flow. To be honest, I think the next one is actually pretty controversial as well, and I know that it's not for everyone, but I'm a bit partial to a waistcoat. And I think ever since probably 2021, maybe 2022, waistcoats have started to come through, and I think they are just a bit of a staple. Now, I really love wearing waistcoats. I think they go with so many things and they are great if you're like me and you maybe don't like wearing corset tops or sparkly tops or anything like that and you prefer wearing something very simple, very tailored, very structured. They're just a really great addition and there's so many different styles out there. I've seen one with flower corsage on it. I've seen halter neck ones. I've seen oversized ones. There's so many different types of waistcoat, but personally, it's an absolute staple for me. I was actually talking to my friend the other day because she went on a trip and she was like, God, I don't know what to wear. I don't know if we're going out for dinners. Like, basically couldn't decide what to take. And I said to her, why don't you just take a waistcoat, because a waistcoat you could wear with tailored trousers during the day if you want to be a bit smarter, maybe over a t-shirt. You could wear them in the evening with the tailored trousers and pop some heels on. You could wear the waistcoat with a satin skirt, but the satin skirt could also go with a t-shirt, and basically just built her like a mini little capsule wardrobe to take with her. I actually don't know at this moment if she did take one. I need to ask her, but obviously we're on like flip time zones, so I can't. But I'm really intrigued because for me, it's such a staple. And whenever it comes to like some kind of smart casual event where I know I need to dress up a bit, I do tend to think initially of wearing a waistcoat with tailored trousers, a satin skirt, jeans, etc., because it's just a bit of a go-to. Again, bit Marmite. Some people love them, some people hate them. I think if you've tried various waistcoats, then you may have found one that suits you. You maybe haven't. I don't know. The next one is something that I started adding into my wardrobe in the latest festive season, and it's something that I've realized is a really good thing to have in my wardrobe because it's one of those trends that is very, I think it will be easy to incorporate into future seasons, if that makes sense. Now, metallic accessories, how do we feel? I don't love gold as metallic accessories, but I am a bit of a silver girly. I'm a silver jewelry kind of gal as well. And I recently got myself some silver heels. They were £35 in M&S. They're slingbacks. I ended up buying the black suede as well because they were just the most comfortable shoes ever and I love them. So as soon as I got them and I realized I had like sparkly bags and silver bags and stuff, I thought, you know what? These are actually a really handy thing to have in my wardrobe because the silver bag and the silver shoes together or separately are a really great way to dress up an outfit, especially when it comes to, like I said, with the waistcoat, like you can just add that smallest little thing to your everyday wardrobe. And by tweaking something ever so slightly, like changing your top or changing your shoe choice, it just makes it a completely different outfit. So that's kind of where I was coming from. Am I going to wear them every single season? Maybe not. Am I going to keep them every festive season? Absolutely. I think having like a really small festive season capsule in your life is definitely worth it. By very small capsule, I mean, you know, your couple of pairs of shoes or your one pair of shoes that you wear every festive season without fail, like the silver ones, maybe having like one extra sparkly bag that only comes out near Christmas. I have a feather set from Nadine Morabi. Don't really wear it every other part of the year, but at Christmas, absolutely love it. Can't get enough. I also have like one sequin shirt, like very, very small things that go with other things in my wardrobe, but make up a very, very minute capsule that is just great for that time of year when I know I need those kind of pieces, but I maybe don't want to invest in like loads of different stuff every year. I can just keep bringing out the same things. No one's really going to remember that you've wore it last year apart from you. So it's absolutely fine. And realistically, I don't really go to that many festive events. So for me, I don't know about everyone else, because obviously I don't get like a work party and stuff. I am thinking about doing a Good Vibes Christmas dinner event kind of vibe this year for Christmas as like a work party for work from home girlies. But for the most part, I don't really have any Christmas or festive events. Like it just, I feel like there's so many outfit inspirations for them on Instagram, but I don't really go to them. So I don't ever really share them. I do the odd one just because I get asked for them. But I just think having those like two or three outfits see me through every season really nicely. The next one is one that anyone could wear and one that I personally really love, which is satin skirts. Now, satin skirts, arguably, anyone can rock. I think they look so good on so many different body shapes, so many different heights and styles and everything, because there is so many options. Whether you like a low rise, a high rise, a midi, a maxi, a white, a black, a green, a spotty, a stripy, a floral, there is so many different types of satin skirt. And I think if you find the right one for you and your body shape and your body type to make you feel comfortable and confident, amazing. I just think they are so perfect. So I tried probably about 5 or 6 different satin skirts before I found the one that I love. And some of them have like thicker waistbands, which for me just didn't really work. I'm quite pear shaped, so it just didn't really look the best. Whereas I managed to find these ones from Topshop. I got a cream and a green one. And they're basically like really thin elastic waistband. And they're bias cut, but they're ever so slightly shaped. And they're maxi. The perfect shape for me because it makes me feel so amazing when I wear them. And I think they just look really nice. I tried midi ones that were a bit shorter with like a thicker waistband and stuff before, and I just could not get it to look right. I think midi length on me, where I am quite short, just doesn't look right. It just looks really awkward. So the maxi was definitely a better length for me. And like I've said, I wear them in a million different ways. I just absolutely love a satin skirt. Jess 3 years ago would never have said that. I was very against until I found the right style for me. I do wear them kind of like mid-rise. So not high-waisted, but not low-waisted. I kind of wear it like across just under my belly button. So it kind of breaks me off in a really nice place. And then I wear it with like crop t-shirts and stuff. There is a waisted style, I think, on my YouTube if you're interested. Then we've got monogrammed designer. The next trend, number 8. We're on number 8. Wow, we got through these quickly. Now, monogram bags are, you know, if you see like Gucci bags or Louis bags or whatever, where they've got like the logo printed all over and it's in like a really gorgeous kind of brownie color usually. And I think monogram bags are just so timeless because for one, I think if you're investing into designer, you're going to wear it for a really, really long time anyway. You can find some great steals vintage. I will leave my recent video where I talked about finding my vintage Gucci bag for £120 and gave lots of secondhand tips and tricks. But I think you can really easily find secondhand ones. And I think if you are willing to make the investment and you can make the investment, I think getting one bag that will go with 95% of your wardrobe is worthwhile if you can justify spending it and if you can afford it. Please do not break your bank to buy a bag. That's silly. But if it's something that you were thinking about doing, then definitely there is high street versions as well that you can find. But I just think a monogram bag, where they're typically like browns or whatever, they go with so much of your wardrobe. Like my Gucci bag, I wear with absolutely everything in my wardrobe. I have styled that bag so much that my cost per wear is probably less than 1p now. And I think it's just a really great staple for me. I do know that not everyone can afford designer. So please, 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 like I've said, don't feel like you have to go and get one of these. You don't. You might not even like designer bags like this. But I do think that a nice monogram bag is a classic. Equally, to be honest, like a tan bag is also an absolute classic. But for me personally, I find that I just really love and gravitate towards the monogrammed ones. I think they're gorgeous. Number 9 is kind of going back to the Sambas thing, but high quality shoes. Now, I think this is very much dependent on the shoes that you personally like. But I do believe sometimes that investing into a pair of shoes that are going to last you years and years and years is sometimes way better as an option than buying like really cheap, say for example, running trainers, right? So buying a pair of running trainers that are like £100 seems like a big expensive cost at first. But if you bought the cheaper running trainers that were maybe, you know, like £30, they wouldn't last as long. So you'd then have to buy like 4 or 5 pairs, which then it works out as being more expensive than the initial like £100 spend. I actually bought my running trainers. This is not actually a part of the video, but I thought I'd just slip it in there for the fact that I've gone off on a lovely little tangent again. But I went to a running shop and actually got a gait analysis, which I really recommend if you are looking to get into running. And you basically, it's free. You go in, they put you on a treadmill in the shop, which is like in the corner, and they basically put a camera behind and they slow it right down and they look at how you run, so like how your feet fall and stuff. And it's really, really handy because it teaches you and tells you about how your feet fall and the kind of support that you need. So say, for example, my running trainers, I use the A6 Gel Kayanos, might be great for my feet because I have one foot that rolls in slightly when I run. I have a really low arch, whereas someone who has a high arch would maybe need a different support, or if you fall flat or if you fall to your left or right, etc. So I definitely recommend doing it because it's free and they'll be really helpful with giving you options for shoes. I got mine on Vinted. So my initial pair of running trainers I bought in lockdown somehow managed to find the perfect trainer for my foot without meaning to. But I bought mine full price in lockdown. And then after a few years, the ones that I had, I loved them, but I just didn't feel like they were perfect for my feet. So I thought, you know what, we're going to get a gait analysis. We'll see what happens. Went in and the guy said to me, actually, like, you know, the A6 Gel Kayano are a really good shoe for your foot. And apparently the newer versions have a lot more cushion. So he advised obviously getting one of those. Went on Vinted. There was one pair available in my size and they were white, which kind of rookie era. They're covered in mud now, but they were like £40 as opposed to spending 120 something brand new. So do recommend having a look. Although I would just check that people haven't done too many miles in them, because apparently, I don't know the full ins and outs of it, but apparently you shouldn't buy secondhand running trainers that have been used quite heavily. So they say for like doing a long distance run and stuff, you should normally get a brand new pair. But I don't know all the ins and outs of that. I'm not an expert. But investing into higher quality sometimes can really pay off, like I've just explained. So for example, I find that investing into, say, for example, the ultra low Uggs, I wear mine every season. I have done for 3 years now. And those were to me an investment because I could have bought the cheaper ones, which are like £30 from a cheaper website, but they probably wouldn't last me as long and the fluff inside would just be really naff after a while. So I do think sometimes it does pay to invest. And one of my best shoe investments ever is actually my Birkenstock Arizona sandals. And I picked them up for, God, I can't even remember. I got them on Amazon cheaper and I think they might have been like £60, but I wear those every single summer without fail, and I have done for probably about 6 years now. They are arguably my most worn summer shoe, like genuinely worn to death. I love them. They are such a classic. I actually ended up asking my mum for, about 2 years ago, I asked my mum for them for my birthday and she got me like a really nice suede pair because I just honestly wear them to death. So things like that I do recommend investing into. My Doc Martin Jaden boots are another really great example. So Doc Martens are, I think the quality testament is in the fact that there is so many vintage pairs and secondhand pairs that you can get online, which are really cheap. I think if you are selling shoes that are like 10, 15 years old and they're still really good condition, that's a testament to the way they were made. And Doc Martin are made really, really, really well. I have a pair of sandals, which I'm still yet to break in. I've had them for years and they still hurt when I wear them, so I have to wear them sparingly. But my Jaden boots I've worn for so many years now. I think I got them in like 2019, maybe 2020, maybe. And I wear them with the double dock socks. If you don't know, get to know. They're £10 a pair, which is kind of expensive, but they're from Doc Martin. These socks are specifically made to not hurt your feet when you wear Docs. So they have like double lining in all of the places that could hurt. They are my best kept secret, slash I do tell everyone about them, but they're something that I think everyone needs to know about, because Doc Martens can hurt quite a lot when you first get them. Like, they can cause some pretty aggressive blisters. So if you are looking to get a pair, I highly recommend getting the Doc socks. And, you know, I'm not saying you have to go and invest in high quality shoes. I'm just saying that I think that mine have been a really worthwhile investment. I actually picked up some checkerboard Vans as well from Vinted for £6. Again, high quality shoe, but cost me a lot less. They have been in my wardrobe for a while now and I really love them. I wear them quite a lot. They last a really long time. And then number 10 on the list is stripes. Stripes are, I think you love or you hate them. I think how you wear them determines whether you love or hate them. Striped jumpers are everywhere. We know this. We know as soon as it hits spring, every other outfit on Instagram is a striped jumper. And I love it. But I think, like I've said in all of the other points, you have to find it in a style that works for you. I've got like a really gorgeous open knit blue and cream striped jumper, which I absolutely love. I got it this year. It's very like chunky and gorgeous. And then I have like a really exaggerated big stripe one. I find smaller stripes don't really suit me as much. I think it really just depends what suits you, what suits your style and how you want to wear them. Striped trousers. I've got a gorgeous pair from Arquette last year that are like a nice linen, stuff like that. I think it honestly just depends on your personal preference of stripes. But stripes is probably the only print that has never, ever, ever, ever not been a trend. Like, it's just always around. We all love it. We all wear it all the time. If you even look at kids' clothes, most kid clothes have stripes. Like, so many kids' clothes have stripes, but it's just an absolute classic. And I think as long as you find the pieces that work for you, if they work for you, then it's a great trend to invest in. And to be honest, out of the 10 different trends that I've mentioned to you, I would say at least one to two of them make up every single outfit that I wear. I'm always wearing denim. I'm always wearing leopard print waistcoats. Like, the satin skirts come out a lot, the shoes, the bags, the stripes. Honestly, it's almost like a different way of looking at how to build a capsule wardrobe, is to think about not just the plain pieces, because we all know that like a plain t-shirt is great and a plain like blazer and whatever. But I think if you're looking to add those other pieces in, because capsule wardrobes are very much personal preference in terms of like what styles you like, what styles suit you, etc. I really do think that thinking about the trends and the timeless bits that you like will help you to build that capsule wardrobe. To be honest, I'm thinking about bringing my friend Sam Preston back on for another episode, because we did one early last year where we talked about capsule wardrobes, and it's one of my most listened episodes for the fact that I think it's just great advice. She's so full of knowledge. I think she's just amazing. And I would love to get her back on to talk to you about capsule wardrobing, because I really think that she's just an absolute pro at all things style. So if you want me to do that, please let me know on Instagram. She has already confirmed coming back on, so we'll see what we do an episode on. But I think that style is definitely her strong point and she's so flipping good at it. But if you like this video, guys, don't forget to let me know and give me a little rating. The ratings really, really help. You can, if you're on Spotify, you can just leave like a number rating, so it's like 5 stars. If you're on Apple, you can leave the reviews as well if you want to. Obviously, no pressure, but it does really help the podcast get heard. What do we think of the new direction of things? Are we loving it? Are we loving that I'm broadening out the topics? I did very much start meaning to go down the kind of wellness route of like, you know, your spiritual bits, how to live your best life in terms of like looking after your body and all these things. But actually, I feel like the podcast is just very broad. The reason it's called the Good Vibes Club is because it's just things that bring you good vibes, whether that's talking about saving money or manifestation or, you know, how to like yourself or fitness routines or whatever it is that just helps you to feel like the best version of you and help you to feel like a normal girl living her best life. Because let's be honest, I'm currently sat in my spare room of my 2-bedroom flat. I'm very normal. I have mess everywhere. I have a small savings account. I work the same as everyone else. Like, it's just one normal girl to another. I'm not a multimillionaire sat in my beautiful, massive mansion wearing my designer outfit with my Porsche on the driveway. I am very much a normal girl. And that's what I hope you get from this podcast. So please, if you do love it, don't forget to give it a rating. I would love to know who you are listening. So please drop me DMs because I really, really love hearing from you on the goodvibesclub.podcast account. If you want to come to an event, there's plenty of those as well. So let me know if you want to come to one. The link will be in the show notes, as with every video. Same with my link to my Stanley tumblers, which are actually my favorite thing ever. I have a real Stanley and arguably prefer mine. Not because I'm biased, they actually are better, I think. But yeah, all of the different information is in there. I'm waffling because I'm just, you know, apparently a chatterbox today. But I hope you like the episode, guys, and I'll talk to you in my next one. Goodbye.